Hello, everyone. This is CircuitPython Weekly Meeting for Monday, August 24th, 2026. It's time of the week where we get to talk about all things CircuitPython. I'm Liz, and I'm sponsored by Adafruit to work on CircuitPython. CircuitPython is a version of Python designed to run on tiny computers called microcontrollers. CircuitPython development is primarily sponsored by Adafruit, so if you want to support Adafruit and CircuitPython, consider purchasing hardware from adafruit.com. Meeting is hosted on the Adafruit Discord server. You can join anytime by going to adafruit.it/discord. We hold the meeting in the CircuitPython Dev Text channel and the CircuitPython Voice channel. This meeting typically happens on Mondays at 2 p.m. U.S. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, except when it coincides with a U.S. holiday. In the notes doc, there's a link to a calendar you can view online or add to your favorite calendar app. We also send notifications about upcoming meetings via Discord. If you want to receive those notifications, ask us to add you to the CircuitPythonista's Discord role. There's a shared notes document that accompanies the meeting and recording. You can contribute to this document beforehand. Final notes document includes timestamps to go along with the video, so you can use the doc to skip around and view parts of the video that interest you most. Meeting tends to run 30 to 60 minutes. After each meeting, we post a link to next meeting's notes document in the CircuitPython Dev channel on Adafruit Discord. Chuck pins messages to Liz's notes doc, and so you can add your notes for a following meeting. If you wish to participate but cannot attend, you can leave hug reports as updates in the document for us to read during the meeting. And that meeting is held in five parts. First part is community news. Second part, state of CircuitPython libraries in Blinka. Third part, hug reports. Fourth part, status updates. And the fifth part is in the weeds. And with that, we will get started with community news. And big milestone for community news, celebrating 400 newsletters. First started on November 15th, 2016, Python and Microcontrollers newsletter has been published for nearly 10 years and has reached 400 issues. We could not have done this without the fabulous worldwide community of Python programmers who work tirelessly and share their results with everyone else. Thank you. Check out the archive over at Adafruit Daily, and thank you, Anne, for doing the newsletter. And then CircuitPython Day 2026 wrap up. CircuitPython Day 2026 last Friday was fabulous. Talks were great, and makers debuted some new CircuitPython content. Catch the YouTube playlist of talks given if you missed anything. And then that links over to YouTube. You can catch up with everything that happened on Friday. And then CircuitPython on the new BAO chip. New BAO microcontroller from Andrew Bunny Wong has a new CircuitPython port, and Adafruit's Phil Terrone has been doing some real-world kicking the tires. No blinks in LED. The BAO and CircuitPython is doing real-world work in a number of examples. GPIO bit-bang 92 kHz from Python, PWM hitting 100 Hz to 100 kHz exactly, ADC stats, 3000 soft floats, SYN and DIV in 379 milliseconds, no FPU, generative ASCII art seeded from the factory UID, different on every BAO chip, identical on yours. Best look what this is live ADC, bar graph at 20 FPS, and the sound generation is fantastic, and there's a nice YouTube link if you're interested in seeing some of that visualized. And these news items and more are available in our weekly Python for Microcontrollers newsletter, which goes out via email on Monday mornings. Visit adafruitdaily.com to subscribe to the newsletter. Thanks to Anne for putting the newsletter together. If you have any Python on hardware projects to share or find content you'd like to see included, please consider contributing to the newsletter. Email cpnews@adafruit.com with a link to content. And here's to 400 more issues. But that is community news. Next up is State of CircuitPython Libraries and Blinka. This is a quantitative overview of the entire project. Gives us a chance to look at the health of the project separate from our status updates. We'll talk about the project overall, then separately discuss the core, libraries, and Blinka. So first up, overall, there were 23 pull requests merged by 11 authors. That included Toddbot, Mikey Sklar, Foamy Guy, Bab Block B, Jepler, GR Grant, Relic SE, Tectric, Tannu, and Dan Halpert. There were four reviewers: Foamy Guy, myself, Blitzcity, Tannut, and Dan Halbert, and then 10 closed issues by four people, five opened by four people. And now we'll hear from Scott about the core.
Hello. Let me pull up the doc. So for the core, we had 15 pull requests merged from eight different authors. Some infrequent contributors are Mikey Sklar, Bab Block B, Relic SE, Tectric. So thank you to those folks. We had two reviewers, Dan and myself. And I'd just like to say, I do feel like we're hitting this the LLM world of changes to CircuitPython, which is awesome. I just opened like another maybe 15 tabs of reviews to look at. But I would, again, do a call for reviewers. So if you feel like you have done a couple changes to the core and feel comfortable taking a look at stuff and reviewing it, that would be awesome. So let me know if you'd like to become a reviewer for the core. I'm sure Tim will talk about that. We're always looking for library reviewers as well. So stats for the core, we had 30 open pull requests. So again, we tend to have this goal of being under 25, which puts us on a single page. Again, this is all good that we have lots of stuff coming in. We'll just need to do more reviews. We had two closed issues. So that's what I'll say for pull requests. Issues wise, we had two closed issues by two people, four opened by three people. So we're net up two for a total of 764 open issues. I suspect that a lot of these issues are, these pull requests are for closing issues. I will also, let me say one more thing about the pull requests, is that as we enter this LLM world, like, it's way more important that pull requests are small. If they have multiple things going on them at once, it means that the stuff that's good can't be merged in until the stuff that needs another pass on can't be. So I do like, so we should aim to have lots of small pull requests so that the ones that look good can get merged in while the ones that need some more work can be worked on separately. Okay, issues. Going back to issues, we use milestones to categorize or prioritize for us Adafruit-funded folks. Again, 10.2 has no open issues. That's been our stable release for a long while. We have 13 open issues on 10.3, but I suspect a lot of those we will not wait for. I think we want to do 10.3 soon, like this week. And then I just like to say that long-term, some folks may see long-term as issues, and this means that it's not a priority for Adafruit-funded folks. We currently have 663 of those, but though that doesn't mean that we're not willing to help you, meaning like give you pointers on where the code could be, do your review, that sort of thing. So if you find an issue, you file it, and we mark it as long-term, it just means that that's not something we're going to pick up immediately. And if you want to work on it, we're still happy to help you do that. And then last up, we have zero issues not assigned to milestones. So this means that we are keeping up with the triage, and that's it for the core.
Awesome. Thank you. And now we'll hear from Tim about the libraries.
All right. Thank you, Liz. This section does cover all of the CircuitPython libraries, which are hosted on GitHub under two different library bundles. We have the Adafruit library bundle, which has 396 libraries in it currently, getting quite close to 400. And then we have the community library bundle, which is up to 182 libraries right now for a total of 578 different libraries that support various pieces of hardware or helper code behavior on CircuitPython devices. Over the past week, we had 8 pull requests merged by 4 different authors, thanks to Bob G, Toddbot, Relic SE, and Jepler. Shout out to Jepler, Hug Report. Always nice to see his name pop up. We had 4 reviewers, thanks to Liz, Scott, Dan, and myself for reviews in the libraries this week. Of the pull requests that were merged, the oldest one was 20 days old, and the newest handful were down at 1 day old, which leaves us right now with 40 pull requests open across the Adafruit bundle libraries. The oldest one of those is a draft that is at 1,467 days. The newest one is brand new at 1 day. And then issues-wise, over the past week, we had 8 issues closed by 4 people and 1 new issue opened up by 1 person, so net down some issues there on libraries. And that leaves us with 772 issues that are open currently. And I will say here, early hug report to Bob G for closing out some of these issues in the library land. Very much appreciated. There are two of the issues that remain that are labeled as good first issues. You can find those over at circuitpython.org/contributing. When you first load that page, you will see a list of the open pull requests, which is where you can start out with some reviewing, like Scott mentioned, although this is reviewing in the CircuitPython libraries. So it is a bit less in depth than the core, like Scott mentioned. This is a great place to start, I should say, and this is what we tend to point folks towards if they want to get involved, but they don't have a specific thing that they know they want to work on, right? If you have something specific you want to work on, jump in and do that. But if you just know you want to help out or get involved, then reviewing PRs is a good place to do it. The process is basically load that page, circuitpython.org/contributing, take a spin through the links in there, find a link over to GitHub for a driver that is a piece of hardware that you have access to or you have some interest in, or maybe a helper library that you've used in the past or that you know a little bit about. You can click through to GitHub, read up on what the proposed change is, and then leave a comment on GitHub letting us know how it went. You can look over the code for things like spelling, syntax, logic, all of that sort of stuff. If you do have the hardware, you can test it out on there, and then in your comment, let us know how it went. If you would like to join the review team that we have over on GitHub, so you get a couple more notifications and easy access to find these things, we can work with you to add you to that. If you like to start submitting some of your own changes, you can facilitate that from the same page on the contributing page. If you click over to the issues tab, you will get a similar looking list of links to GitHub, but these ones represent issues. They don't have a proposed change yet, so they're not ready for a review. They need a person to actually come along and code up the change and submit the PR, and that could be you, again, if you want to get involved. We do have learn guides for contributing to CircuitPython using Git and GitHub. We also have folks who are more than happy to help you get spun up here on the Discord. So if you are trying to get involved and you're having trouble with any part of the process, reviewing or submitting your own PRs with the actions or pre-commit or anything else, just come say hi on the Discord. Let us know what you're up to, what kind of issue you're having. Somebody will be happy to help you out. And then I will leave you with the updates. New libraries in the last 7 days over in the community bundle this week. We have Menu Manager by Relic SE and some synth tools by Todbot. So very cool stuff there. And that's what we've got for libraries.
Great. Thank you. Now I'll read about Blinka. Blinka is our compatibility layer for CircuitPython code on single board computers like Raspberry Pi. And this week there were 0 pull requests merged. There are currently 15 open pull requests. There were no issues closed and no new issues either. There are currently 79 open issues, and the number of supported boards stands at 174. And that is state of CircuitPython libraries in Blinka. Next up is Hug Reports. Hug Reports is a chance to highlight folks in the CircuitPython community and beyond for doing awesome things. I'll start, and then we'll go down the list of Hug Reports alphabetically. If you're text only or are missing the meeting, I will read your notes when I get to them in the list. So I will kick things off with a group hug to everyone who participated in CircuitPython Day on Friday. All the sessions were really great. So whether you did a session, I really appreciate working with you to get that going. Or if you moved your regularly scheduled live stream to Friday, really appreciate it. Everyone who did stuff on the back end too, making sure the blog was updated, checking links, artwork, all that. Really appreciate all of you. I think it's a really great community group effort. So thank you. And now we will hear from Bob G.
Thanks, Liz. First of all, thank you for testing and merging the SCD4X enhancements. I appreciate that, jumping on that. And I also appreciate Tan Newt for helping me iterate through Adafruit Register's memory footprint and get it all into a shared buffer. And so thank you both.
Great. Thank you. That was really good timing because the new sensor had come out, so I was testing it. And now we'll hear from Dan H.
Okay. Thanks to you, Liz, for organizing, doing the general organization of CircuitPython Day and doing all the video session hosting. That worked out great. Thanks to Tim and Scott for the session that we did on CircuitPython Day. The three of us did a What's New in CircuitPython 10.3.0 session that went really well. And then also that day, I think it was the same day, Scott and I had a good discussion about making LLM-aided pull requests be better, which is just what we just talked about earlier about how it's better to have them be smaller and less verbose and direction. That's it for me.
Great. Thank you. And now we'll hear from Foamy Guy.
All right. Hug report to you, Liz. Thanks for coordinating the CircuitPython streams, echoing what Dan said, as well as all of the other work that you put in behind the scenes to make the day awesome. Thanks as well for CircuitPython Day streams to Relic SE for the audio stream and Todd and Paul for the live bootloader. I enjoyed both of those as well. It's really nice to see the community coordination as well on CircuitPython Day. So thanks to everyone all around. That's what I've got.
Thank you. I agree. Those were really great sessions. And now we'll hear from Mikey Sklar.
Right. Thank you for CircuitPython Day. That was great. I want to also thank Scott for his patience last week when I was in jury duty, and he took many of my PRs for the SIWX917 chip that's being brought up. And Dan helped with that as well, doing a few PRs, which I really needed last week. So thank you.
Thank you. And now I'll read for Paul Cutler, who's text only. Big hug to Liz for all our work organizing CircuitPython Day. All the live streams are great. Thank you, Paul. And thank you for doing your session as well. And now we'll hear from Scott.
Hello. Once again, thank you to you, Liz, for organizing and hosting CircuitPython Day. I know we've all echoed it, but it's a lot of work and it went really well. So thank you for doing that. Thanks to also everybody else who participated in CircuitPython Day, all the folks that I saw, lots of folks in the chats for all the different streams, which was really fun. Lastly, a hug for Paul, who had me on the CircuitPython show. So thanks to Paul for doing CircuitPython show and having me. It came out today. We recorded it a few weeks ago. So check that out if you're interested too.
Awesome. I listened this morning. It was a good episode. All right. Thanks, everyone. And now we'll move on to status updates. Status updates is our time to tell folks what we're up to individually. I will start, and we'll go through a list of updates alphabetically. My call on you, take a couple minutes to talk about what you've been doing since the last meeting and what you'll be doing until the next meeting. If the discussion becomes too long for status updates, we can move it to in the weeds. And I will start. As mentioned last week, I worked on prepping for CircuitPython Day. I think day was a huge success. I'm very grateful for everyone who participated or helped in any way. This week, I'm documenting the new GP8403 DAC that was added to the shop and porting the Monster Eyes code to new display and chip combos. Previously, it was hard-coded to the SAMD51/M4 on the Hallowing and Monster Mask boards. Code I'm working on will hopefully allow for multiple platforms and displays. Right now, I've tested with Pico DBI and the round GC9A01A displays. So the goal is basically instead of having it tied down to one chipset, just to make it more portable and easier to add new platforms as they come out in Arduino. There is an aspect of CircuitPython, though. I'm using the file system so people can drag and drop their eye graphics onto the CircuitPy drive, then load the Arduino firmware, and it will grab it from there. So that's what I'll be working on this week. And now we'll hear from Dan.
Okay, so I've been working for the past couple of weeks on a lot of BLE workflow issues, greatly aided by LLMs because BLE is complicated and there are a lot of problems. Different operating systems do things differently, I would say. So I've got a PR. I've got several PRs in to fix some things in CircuitPython to make it work better and be more robust. And also, there are several repos that drive the code.circuitpython.org library, and I've got changes into those. And there are going to be a few more of those as well. And that's it for me.
Awesome. Thank you. And now we'll hear from Foamy Guy.
All right, thanks, Liz. I on CircuitPython Day in the evening, I did the game jam stream, and I just wanted to pop in here to let folks know I'll continue the development on that game. So if you are interested in it, you want to see where it goes over the next couple weekends over on my channel, I'll work on that. I will say belated hard report as well. Another one out to Smitka, who made a Pico game and had a fun time working on it, especially the agent skill. It was nice to develop a game that way, which I haven't done before. So if folks are interested in Pico game and want to try out making games of your own, iterate real quickly. There's a skill out there that makes it super easy to work on and iterate your game. So very cool stuff there. And then back into this week, what I'm working on is the support for Teenage Engineering SP1 device for CircuitPython. I last week refactored a bit based on feedback in the PR to move Watchdog and the power off button handling into board specific directory. And then this week, this morning, I should say, I started working on generalizing the EMMC support to make a new EMMC IO module. So there'll be a new module for that. And then the first device here, the SP1, hooks up to the chip that is on this device and mounts it as SD. So you can copy files on and off. And that is what I'm up to. Thanks.
Great. Thank you. And now we'll hear from Scott.
Hello. So I am wrapping up the enabling of Zephyr Beely workflow. So this will allow us to use the Beely workflow with Zephyr supported boards, anything that has Beely. I'm also finishing up the Zephyr Beely adapter has a name, and that name is often used in advertisements. And it was just set to Zephyr. We weren't setting it to our like CircuitPython Mac address thing that we did on other ports. So I fixed that on Zephyr, and then also am splitting it out so that the like figuring out what the name is shared amongst all of the ports. So I want to get those two things out for PR today. And then next up is creating a Zephyr-based UF2 bootloader. We have a few different UF2 bootloaders that we do. And I wanted to have one that matched up that was based on Zephyr so that whenever we have a CircuitPython Zephyr board, we can also have a Zephyr UF2 bootloader to go with it. The way Zephyr currently works is it has just like, they have this command west that knows how to flash, but the flashing happens in all these different ways. So I'd like to get us to the point where you have to do the complicated flashing, this vendor specific thing once for a UF2 bootloader. And then from then on, you can just do UF2s. And this will also kind of like impose a partitioning scheme for every board. Where does the code live? Does it have a second slot for OTA? Where does the file system live? That sort of stuff. So I do want to take a look at how Zephyr Arduino works, because they have Arduino built on top of Zephyr now. And I want to make sure that the UF2 bootloader would work with that. So I'll take a look there. That's going to be most of my week is the UF2 stuff.
Great. Thank you. And now we'll hear from Mikey Sklar.
Oh, I'm still working on the SIWX917, which is a chip that's really functionally much like the ESP32S3 in terms of its behavior. It's a Scilabs chip that I guess TI is acquiring all of Scilabs, so I guess it's sort of an obscure thing to look into and almost redundant, but anyway, it's getting pretty close. I think the workflow is done. It's just a bunch of PRs going through now. So something that came up in the CircuitPython channel last week was DAV, which is it provides the ability to mount CircuitPython boards like the Feather V2 so that you actually can see it on your file system and traverse it and other things just like from the command line as you would with any of the other boards that have native USB. So credit to HopCappy for bringing this up, but that works really well. Like, I'm amazed how well that works for macOS and Linux. That's a really useful way to access boards, and maybe that's something that we can use going forward. And I have two more chips I'm looking at just based on the last meeting. So the RA8D1, which is a very robust dev kit of a chip that I've just picked up. So it has quite a bit of flash and memory, 64 megabytes. And it's already running sort of a homemade Linux on it with Blinka, just as a sort of proof of concept, not that useful. And we do have a CircuitPython port. I have to go back to that now and see how much more work that needs to be sort of functional, but that could be an interesting chip for some more high performance applications like a tablet. And then the ESP32-S31, I think a few people have been ordering them and have them in hand now. Mine should be here in the next day or two. And I think it's already kind of working, but it just needs more work to actually be functional. So I'll be looking at that this week as well.
Very cool. And I didn't know about the DAV stuff for the non-native CircuitPython boards. I'll have to look into that, because when I write guides, trying to document CircuitPython stuff for those kind of boards can get pretty tricky. So thank you. And I'm not seeing any in the weeds topics, so I think we can move to wrap up. This has been CircuitPython Weekly for Monday, August 24th, 2026. Thank you to everyone who participated. If you want to support Adafruit and CircuitPython, and those of us that work on CircuitPython, consider purchasing from the Adafruit shop at adafruit.com. Video of this meeting will be released on YouTube at youtube.com/Adafruit, and the podcast will be available on major podcast services. It'll also be featured in Python for Microcontroller newsletter. Visit adafruitdaily.com to subscribe. Next meeting will be held next Monday, as usual, at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. This meeting is held on the Adafruit Discord, which you can join by going to adafruit.it/discord. To be notified about the meeting and any changes to time or day, you can ask to be added to the CircuitPythonistas role on Discord. And we hope to see you all next week. Thanks, everyone.